After a bank holiday weekend where those we know and love drank themselves into oblivion, got the ride and burned a load of dead bodies, the Rewind is back with our Game of Thrones player ratings.
I've never begged for anything, but I'm begging you. Don't do this. Please.
You are my queen. Nothing will change that. And they are my family. We can live together.
We can. I've just told you how.
Yes, we had so much fun last week that we decided to turn this into a weekly ratings for the remainder of the season. In fact, the reaction was so huge that we've set up our own podcast feed. If you're listening to this through the Balls.ie podcast feed, you can subscribe to the Rewind feed by simply searching The Rewind in all good podcast apps. There we'll be posting our weekly ratings podcast and much more besides. My name is Mark Farley and I'm joined by Mick McCarthy and Donny Mahoney. Donny, are you Team Daenerys or Team Jon?
I'm Team Cersei.
You're Team Cersei?
Yeah, yeah, I think
so. You want to see her win?
Well, I just like how she's playing the game, and I think she's... I find myself in that episode, a difficult episode, I think, for a lot of people, but Danny's in a tough place, and I find myself empathizing with her more and more every episode, but John consistently lets me down, I've never felt part of the Danny mission to take over the world, and I just have never been on board with that. So, process of elimination, I guess I'm left with Cersei.
Despite her haircuts, like her haircut has gone,
it's disgraceful. It makes her look very old as well, doesn't it? Like, you know, Lena Headey's a nice looking woman.
I think it's maybe done on purpose though, just to make her look a bit more mad. She's looking disheveled, I suppose.
Did you know that real life Cersei and real life Bronn had a relationship, a tryst?
No.
And they were married, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't know, but apparently they're never seen in the same scene together.
Because really?
They won't even go into the same room together.
Seriously?
Real, I read this on the internet.
Bronn was in like a famous band, wasn't he? He's like one of those like... Robson and Jerome.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those, yeah, famous band.
He's got a great Kerry name, Jerome Flynn.
Yeah, was it Robson Green?
Yeah,
that's Robson Green. Who looks like the lad from The Walking Dead, but isn't the lad from The Walking Dead.
The problem with what Danny's saying there is, so basically we're in the middle of a well-written, and it's taking its time like all the best ones, but we're in the middle of a Daenerys heel turn.
Yeah.
And the problem is her enemy, her biggest enemy at the moment is still also probably the biggest heel in it, in Cersei. So what happens here, and I've watched enough wrestling over the years to know that the only possible way they can handle this, because you lose crowd interest if you're trying to boo both people, is that you have to bring in the good guy, Jon Snow, make it a triple threat, and then eventually he has to kind of overcome all the odds and all of the bad guys together.
Is there a ladder involved in these fights usually?
There's usually a ladder. I haven't seen a dragon as of yet, but sometimes there was Inferno matches for a while, which were when you lit all the round the ring on fire. But I think this is going to end up with a casket match.
Okay.
Yeah, possibly.
And the Night King's the Undertaker and he comes back from the dead at the last minute. But anyway, we're going to get into our player ratings very shortly. But
did you like it?
I was about to say, Mick, what's your episode rating?
Oh, I would say, like, we're so far into the show and you're so interested in everything that's going to happen, and you know that there's only kind of two of them left after this, so you're still hanging on every word that's said and you're still kind of nominally enjoying each scene. But what that could have been versus what it was, for me, it was a pretty bad episode. We're back to kind of racing around the continent, kind of kill a load of, like, you know, there's not enough episodes for the amount of story that they want to tell. So we're back to kind of like, oh, suddenly we're a week later, or at least we're supposed to assume, or they're traveling at, you know, a speed that was, you know, hitherto impossible in Westeros, you know, and it kind of just annoys me and it takes me out of it a little bit. So I would say it was about a 5 or 6.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, time-wise, like, there are a couple of things. The travel thing doesn't bother me so much. But the thing of, like, Jaime getting Cersei pregnant, then leaving to go up to the north, fighting the Night King, staying in the north for a while, then them coming back down, and... She's barely showing, and she's just told Euron that she's pregnant. Mm. Yet somehow he's also thrown a blind eye to the fact that Tyrion knew that Cersei was pregnant, as it says it to him, and also that Gilly only got pregnant middle of all that, and yet she's showing.
Yeah, Euron was gone. I remember the fake storm out at the time when Tyrion found out that Cersei was pregnant, so he wouldn't have known that. But even so,
I don't think he wouldn't have known, but like, is he not surely thinking, wait a minute, this woman just told me she was pregnant an hour ago. How the hell does Tyrion know?
Mm. How does he know that Tyrion knows?
Because he went and did the big speech at the end. Big spiel about you've got it for your child.
There was about 3 episodes worth of things going on in that episode.
Yeah. Mm.
And it just made it feel a little bit clunky and just forced. But I mean, when you saw Dany's army at the end, just those, whatever, 200 guys of Unsullied and her dragon kind of just like hiding in the background. And that's all that she's left considering where she started at the beginning of the season. It's just...
Yeah, I think she has slightly more than that. I think that was a kind of an envoy. But, you know, I don't think that was what she has. But there is like about a... She has about a third of the army that she had at the start, which is kind of shit, really.
Yeah, because she was so powerful and had, you know, spent really basically like the whole show basically building that up, and then for it to be taken away really just to serve the plot purpose.
Yeah,
just to
level the odds.
Yeah, I just think that's, from a just an audience perspective, just a bit disappointing. But here we are where we are.
Yeah. Also, it felt it lacked a little bit of... I don't know, it was because the last episode was the biggest episode of all time, and whether people liked it or not, it was, you know, it was the dramatic conclusion. And in this episode, we lost the dragon, which is a pretty seismic thing to happen. We lost a secondary character in Missandei, had her head chopped off in front of the people that she loves. You know, a lot of stuff actually happened in it, but it didn't pack a punch the way I think it was supposed to. You know, we just had a dragon die mid-episode.
Like. I think this could be... this is the thing, I've never really liked the Daenerys storyline. I liked it at the start, I think, when she was with the Dothraki and then she gave birth to the dragons. I was like, this is shit cool. But the whole drama thing over the few seasons where she was like convincing all these other people to follow her and trying to rule and the feckin' Mayans or the Aztecs or whatever the hell she was. Like, at that stage, it was like, every time I was like, just get back to bloody Westeros. Mm, yeah. And like, the only interesting thing I remember at the time was like when the dragons were like killing some poor lad's goats and then his son, I think, at the end. And it was like, oh, what are they going to do? The dragons have to eat, but this poor man's a farmer and this is a real moral conundrum for me. And then they just swept that under the carpet. Now the dragons were going eating goats, whatever they wanted. And I think that's the issue, is that like, nobody really gives a shit about Daenerys and any of the people related to her. Like, everybody shout, who cared about Missandei?
Well,
I like
her. She's nice. Come on.
Come on. She's
relevant. She's a translator.
Who cared about Grey Worm and Missandei?
It was like if they took out Manuela. Romance. If Manuela got sacked.
Was much more integral to the Irish football setup than Missandei has been to Game of Thrones.
I don't know. I think she's doing a lot behind the scenes.
I think Missandei has actually been a pretty good character. She's been the friend of the freed slave. She's been the closest female confidant of Dany the whole way.
She's been the
through.
Friend of the person who's a dose of shite.
Okay, there's different ways I would look at Dany's story, though. Is like, the, you know, I feel like her plotline has been, you know, it's been laced with mistakes and with kind of like bad moments and all, but ultimately has been on a good path of, you know, righteousness the entire way through. And it's like, we've got to the point now where she went north and she fulfilled her promise. But then like way too quickly, it's like, right, this is actually about me and my thing. And obviously we'll talk about the conversation she had with John, which was like pathetic and like was full on, you're a bitch now. You know, like there's not as much I wouldn't give her as much leeway as you would before, because now it's like you've seen enough to know that it shouldn't be about your place sitting on a fucking throne of swords. You know what I mean? Yeah. It has to be like more than that now. But she doesn't seem to have looked past that, and that just makes her worthless to the story from my point of view.
That thing of like, say with Grey Worm, Missandei, like if the dragon dies and Missandei gets killed, why don't you care as much about those specific characters? Like if she was like Missandei was a good person the whole way through it, and she was a decent character, then like if, you know, those people, I think if Tormund died, you'd care about it more.
Yeah.
Because despite, I think the issue, everyone says the issue now is that they're racing through it in these last few episodes, but like Missandei, if it shows the scene where she gets kidnapped, or it shows the scene of her in captivity getting abused or something, I don't think that really makes a difference. I think the problem is that when they did have the time all those seasons back, that the time they spent with them still didn't reap the rewards that it should have, that were not as bought into. Like, I was just thinking, even compared to the Avengers, when I was thinking about it, I don't want, spoiler alert, but the characters in the Avengers that may have only been on screen for, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, you actually end up nearly caring about them more than the likes of some of these characters who, and even the dragons who just kind of randomly get killed off and then at least expecting it.
Yeah, I, like with Dany, for me, what's disappointing is they've always sort of built her up as this sort of exceptional character, like, you know, a great leader, someone who possesses something that's totally exceptional to other, I guess, contenders for the throne. And by I mean it's like, you know, Varys and Tyrion and these guys, and for them to abandon her so quickly this episode.
We'll talk about them and their play writings, I think, but like, I agree with you. Like, it's a bit jarring, isn't it?
Like, just at this point, because she's had wobbles before, but like, they've always, people have stood by her and believed in her, and I know her army isn't what it used to be, but like, you would think that she still possesses the same kind of traits and qualities, but she is an isolated character now. So
just to Mark's point really briefly, the problem with, you know, saying that we don't care because it's just Missandei, there's definitely an element to that. I completely agree with you. But it's also because we're just, there's nothing that's seismic enough at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, because we're on this countdown, because everything has this end game, nothing can matter. Nothing can pack a punch because it's all just about something that's bigger that everybody thinks is around the corner. Arya stabbing the Night King was probably the only moment that probably was big enough on its own. And then everybody started giving out about that. You know what I mean? So they are working against a pretty big handicap, I would say, on it. Just, I still think even given them that, it could have been better.
Yeah, I suppose there is the thing of like, you're probably right in terms of this. You're looking at Missandei, whatever happens, even the dragon, it's just, you're looking at this like a game of chess and they're just pawns that are dropping and all you're worried about is what it means for the next thing rather than the moments on their own.
I will say really quickly before you jump into the player ratings, because I know we don't have time to talk about this, is I am actually disappointed that the show looks like it is actually just a battle for a throne. You know, at the end of it, you know what I mean? It had so many more elements to it that for me were a lot more interesting and, you know, went a lot deeper. And it was supposed to be this that, oh, these people on the surface think it's this battle about a throne, but actually there's so much more going on. And like, John was the only one who could see it.
Mm.
And it seems like they've given up. They've got rid of all that stuff on purpose. It's like they're getting rid of all the magic elements. Like Bran doesn't see, like they didn't explain where Bran went last year. It wasn't, they don't care. They actually don't care about that character. So they just want it out of the way. And now it's like Cersei versus Dany versus Jon. And what's going to happen? And is Jaime going to kill? And it's all interesting stuff, but it is ultimately kind of basic, isn't it? It's not the deep world that has
it's
been created.
It's come back to being like a normal TV show, like we're talking about last week, in terms of that. It's not the... And like, some of it has to be like that because you can't keep having plot twists two episodes from the end that nobody's expecting. But anyway, I think it's time we jump into our player ratings.
Bill, we're in the business of judging performances, right? Found out tonight. Nothing, player.
I'm going to start with one that I kept a keen eye on, and we've discussed her a little bit already. Daenerys. I gave her a 2 out of 10.
Wow.
Do you think that's harsh or generous?
Oh, I think harsh, yeah. She's in a very jerky place. Well, she's at the wedding. It's like going to a wedding with your divorced husband. Like, she can't even... She's sitting at the table. She can't even talk to anybody. She's very isolated there.
I've done it in a sort of a leave and cert way. Not... Do you know, like, I didn't start them out with 10 out of 10 and you have to lose points.
Uh-huh.
I started them at 0 out of 10. And I gave her a 1 out of 10 for making Gendry a lord, even though that was a tactical move. So maybe, you know, it's as much of a benefit for her as it is for him.
Well, yeah, but this isn't the soundness rankings here, Mark. This is how they performed relative to their character. It's nothing to do with... Like,
it was a good tactical move. So I gave her 1 for that.
Put a qualification on it.
I gave her 1 for that.
Okay.
And then I also gave her 1 just because I felt a little sorry for her when she was sitting around with no friends. And then aside from that...
A pity one.
Mm. Everything else, she made...
Is it her fault that she's getting terrible advice?
That's a huge point here.
Like, she has to trust these guys. She pays them a lot. Like, her backroom team, she's assembled them. She can only do so much. She has to delegate left and right to these people who know the lay of the land much better than her.
Yeah, but the advice she was given... The only person who gave her any advice in terms of going down to King's Landing was Sansa, who said, don't go. Surely these people need to rest.
Including your dragon who was injured.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. John just said, look, we promised Daenerys whatever she says we're going to do. That wasn't advice. That was just whatever you want, we'll do. Mm-hmm. So she went off on her own there. Now, she did get bad advice from Tyrion to go down at the end.
But terrible advice.
Like, that whole situation arose from the fact that, one... She is so pig-headed and narrow-minded that she went down in the first place. And two, that she's riding a bloody dragon. She's way up in the air, and somehow she can't see an entire fleet of ships. What sort of general
who can see
or
her
leader of the free world can't see a load of ships? And then not only that, but there's another point. Rhaegal gets killed, and again from these crossbows that can like are very heavy and hard to maneuver, despite the fact that Euron seems to be the greatest arrowsman the world has ever seen. But what does Daenerys do? She flies straight at the ship. Straight at it. And all these bows flying at her. Now, I'm no mad general expert or army expert.
A mad general expert.
But, or dragon expert, right? Okay. I have no expertise in dragon flying. But those crossbows were going to be difficult to turn around. I don't know if they can turn around 360 degrees. They may only be able to turn on a 180 axis. Why didn't she just fly up in the air, round the back of the ships, and burn them all to pieces?
So,
just rather than flying straight at them.
Okay, that seems mad, as your mad dragon general expert, your knowledge there might be okay, but you have to blame the dragon, I think, for flying. The dragon has eyes, can't he see? And then you've got
injured dragon that holds in his wing, shouldn't have been out flying. Well,
you've got to ask questions of the physio team. I mean, if Paul McGrath gets hurt before an Italian 90 game, do you blame Jack Charlton for the injury? Or do you blame the physio for not diagnosing it and passing the information on? Where are the dragon physios?
You played Jack Charlton for setting up the quarterfinal the day after the last match when, you know, I don't know why he's in charge of the matches. But
yeah.
But hold on, just going back. Daenerys, if she had her way, she would have gone and torched King's Landing like right when she landed in
Westeros. That's important, I think, because they keep telling her, oh, do the humane thing, do the humane thing. Her instincts have actually got her this far a lot of the times. And her instincts aren't as bad as people are making out to be. They're not like, oh, burn the whole city, who cares? What they're doing is actually trying to starve the whole city out. They're trying to surround it and, you know, and it's like, oh, but don't worry, they'll blame the other person. So therefore, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like Varys and all these people with their warped views. Like, you know, either way, it's bad. You're going to have to take the throne. Maybe she doesn't need to take it as quickly as she is. I don't know why. What's the rush, to be honest. But that's why I would take Mark's offer. But she has had bad advice the whole way. Another piece of bad advice: don't split your army when the army's been cut in four. True. You know, and then have John go down the King's Road and taking 6.5 years while she's there in 5 minutes on the boats because they're so much quicker. And also, you're going to Dragonstone, great idea, right across from King's Landing, and what's in between them? The Iron Fleet, which is the only thing they've done to actually serve the Euron character properly, is show that he has the best fleet in and can kill anyone and has done it. All his best stuff has happened where he's just been kind of like come at you at sea and won every single time.
Yeah.
So bad advice for Dany, but we'll get to all those people. I wouldn't give her that much more than a two, though.
One small
devious
point
as well. Like her plan with John, like John's too That's honest a man thing. To threaten him that way. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've just told you how you have to keep this a secret. Shite. Like, I mean, I know probably for herself that she benefits from it, but she's just, I know it's not the soundest rankings, but it grinds my gears.
I think you're being harsh to criticize her for not being able to see Euron's army. She's a small woman, a very small woman on a very big dragon. I don't think they can see that much on those dragons.
Yeah, the
it's
horns,
very, it's a minor point, but I think it's important. They're just holding on for dear life. It's up to the dragons there to be able to see in the distance.
Why is she on it then?
I don't know.
It's good crack.
I say it's good, Jeff.
It's fun times to look at. We're going to have to settle her. You John, think she needs a lot more?
I think she'd be around a six. I think considering what she's working against her own.
She can't be a six.
Imagine if Terry Connor was plotting against Mick McCarthy.
But that's not the point. Like, you've just thrown it. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Varys and Tyrion sitting in the throne room was like TC and Robbie Keane sitting in the sitting in the back room, the physio room of the Aviva Stadium, and plotting. And Robbie's like, "Oh no, TC, what you're suggesting is treason. We're not doing this to Mick. We're not doing this to Mick. It's treason."
Stephen Kenny is the man to take us forward. Look, I'm going to set it at a four. I'm just deciding these player ratings there off the on a whim. You wanted more. Big said not much more than a two.
Four would be fair. Four would be fair.
Also, she seems to have no problem with the incest thing still.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
We're going to go to, I think, probably the next most important character, I thought, in this week's episode, Tyrion.
Okay.
I thought it was a return to form for Tyrion.
What?
He did give bad advice towards the end. Well, I want to qualify that by the fact that he was clearly suffering from a concussion, have been hit in the head with a
a beam
from the ship. And I did not see any HIA protocols undertook there, which is
also
really
Bronn punched him in the face.
Yeah, which is really Daenerys' responsibility, I think.
Yeah,
because like, who's setting the standards here? She has to know if her player is fit to return to the field, and he was not fit for
action. So you're saying that those head injuries caused the mistake of trying to negotiate that bad deal with Cersei? Like, he was operating under some concussed.
Exactly. I thought up until that point he had proved that he was fully with it, and he went through a lot. You saw all the different types of Tyrion. You saw funny Tyrion, drunk Tyrion, sarcastic Tyrion, Tyrion that wants there to be good in the world, Tyrion that's battling with, you know, his own morality. I thought he was a solid 7 out of 10.
In terms of his, it was enjoyable to watch him in the episode. Is that where you're going with it?
He had a lot more.
No, because in terms of his performance, like, how many times is he going to appeal to Cersei's humanity? He has done that 12 times, including the last time he was face to face with her. And she absolutely sold him out before he was outside the room. Like, you're not the monster you think you are, you know?
And she's
like, she is. She clearly is. She's proven it many fucking times.
He was concussed.
And she's just
Well, don't give him points for that. He got hit in the head.
And as if she needed a reminder, Bronn comes in with that crossbow ready to kill her, kill him and Jaime. And she, all of a sudden, he's like, no, we're going to try to negotiate through this. I mean, where does his bottomless empathy for his sister come from?
He did negotiate well with Bronn, though. Good tactical move.
Because, in my opinion, if I was, like, you know, the Lannister brothers sitting there having a pint and someone comes in and says, I was going to kill you, but give me twice as much money and I won't, and that's the only thing they get out of it, I'd be like, we should probably have that guy killed.
Mm.
You know? Especially in that world. I don't think I'd say it in real life.
You might think,
you know, it. I might think it, but I it would definitely at least enter my head that we kind of have to get rid of this fella Bronn. Like, I mean, we, first of all, the reach isn't ours to give him.
Yeah. And I think he also has a duty as the hand of the queen to be beside her the whole time at that sort of ceremony thing. He goes and starts playing the drinking game with his brother and Brienne. Daenerys is just sort of hanging out there, feeling very isolated, listening to some shy talk from the lads. And you can see that sometimes at weddings where there's like a group of lads talking about Gaelic football or something. And then there's the date who doesn't really know what to say or know anybody. He's got a duty there. He's got to mind his own date, really, and sort of keep an eye on her as the hand. And he absconded there.
Also there, actually, now I'm arguing against myself, but maybe Doc, another point I'd forgotten about. The whole calling Brianna as a virgin thing is just that sort of lad at the drinking game that's a bit of an idiot and doesn't know when to stop, cross the line. Yeah. Like, there's no need for that. He ruined the whole, they were having great fun and he ruined it.
I actually can't think of anything that Tyrion did well in that episode.
I thought
he was either, I thought he drank well. And he was funny at times, and he was his usual witty self, but he got his team nowhere. I don't think he did one thing well, and I think it's a continuing trend for this guy. He's in the he's in the worst form of his career. I'm not sure he deserves a place on the team anymore. He definitely doesn't deserve to be the captain of Daenerys' team, the Hand of the Queen. And I don't understand. And he's borderline plotting against her now. He didn't go full in the way Varys did, but he's not too far off. He's happy to waver. Because he knows what a good person is more than anyone else. And this goes back to Donnie's point about feeling a little bit sorry for Daenerys. Like, he's got, like, this self-proclaimed genius who isn't really doing anything to prove it, backing her up, and now doubting her because of his decisions.
Living on reputation.
So 4. What rating did you give him?
I'd be a 4.
I'd give him a 3.
Jesus.
Where would you be?
How are you giving him a 7?
Wow. He definitely had more lines this episode. He spoke more. Mm. More camera time. But I think all the problems in the whole show seem to sort of emanate from him.
Right.
Why does he not have sex anymore? He's alluded to it twice.
Mm. Yeah. I think he might be in love with Daenerys.
Yeah.
Or Sansa.
Or both.
Yeah. And he's just holding out. He's had a change of character. We're going to settle on a 4, so I'm not going to go down as low as a 3, but seeing as Mick said 4, I think it's a happy medium, even though it's down from a 7.
So 2 fours so far.
2 fours, and now we're on to John.
Okay.
A.K.A. Aegon.
I think he's been shown to be out of his depth. Way, way out of his depth.
There's lots of things that I would give John. It's just more naivety. You know, this guy is, like, clearly, like the best warrior in Westeros. He's probably the most respected man. You saw the way Tormund and the boys were talking about him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, he gave a lovely kind of very kingly speech, I would say.
I thought he was 10 out of 10 for the first fight.
Didn't thank the sponsors. Didn't say, didn't give three cheers to the Army of the Dead, but still it was a good speech. Yeah.
Didn't talk, didn't do the team doctor or, you know, the guys who washed the jerseys.
The backroom team.
You know, look, it was a very, very kingly speech, I thought it was very impressive. And there was a lot of like looks at him concerned about how good he was at it, you know. So you understand that. Good
changed star. His voice for it as well, I thought.
Did a little bit, yeah. Kind of became a little bit less northern.
Yeah, it was a lot more, you know, a lot more, I don't know what you call it. I'm not an audio expert.
Great.
I'm a dragon expert.
Gravitas.
No, real bass. Like, just the way his accent.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
he's been doing that more and more over the seasons, actually. It's a lot of, like, this is the Great War.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so...
Is that your impression of the
I
week?
I have to stop doing impressions, don't I? They do happen by accident, I have to be honest. Right. So, from there, poor performance, okay? Right? Does not... How... He's so in love with his aunt... Right, that even though like they, it all feels a little bit awkward when they're kissing and stuff like that. But he loves her and feels honor bound to her so much that he can't see through this awful power grab where she is just. He's like, I don't want that you have it, and she's like, well, yeah, because it's fucking mine. You fuck off and make sure that this doesn't mess it up at all. You know, it's like, right, okay. Suddenly, you just have to be a human being in these situations and say, hold on, I don't want it, but the way you're acting is totally out of order. There's something wrong here, yada, yada. Right, okay, I have to tell them I'm honor bound, right? Okay, if he's sticking with her, stick to her plan then. You know, I don't think you should be sticking with her, but if you're going to, you have to stick to her plan. No, immediately tells the brothers and sisters. Also, trusts them that, like, just swear, and then it'll be okay. Okay, Grant, okay, they've sworn now, so no problem. Sansa immediately tells someone about it. Soon the whole world will know, yada, yada. Right, okay, Ghost. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Like his animal management in this, he's half a Stark, he's half a Targaryen, he's got his own direwolf, and he's got his own dragon, right? He's the rider of that dragon. That's more his than Daenerys's now. That's the way dragon lore works, according to people who know more than me about it. So he says Rhaegal doesn't need a rider weighing him down because Jon is so big that he's going to apparently hurt him, as opposed to steer him out of the way of a dragon. So he lets his injured dragon go off on his own, and then he sends Ghost off. Ghost, who fought for him in battle, he doesn't even pet him goodbye. He just kind of sends him off with Tormund. The only thing that saved his life more times than you can count, and he's just like, ah, off you go. Then he goes south straight away. No questioning as to whether we should wait a little while and recoup our armies. Off he goes, half-dead army, all the way down the road to await his possible doom where all of his ancestors have died before in King's Landing. Jon did not play well again. Bad planner, that man.
What do you give him out of 10?
3.
Donnie?
Yeah, be around there, 3 or 4, just... Don't know, he doesn't seem to know what he's doing at all, making bad decisions left and right. And it's just, I mean, we shouldn't. I know he's a military planner and all this kind of thing, and he's a soldier, but like, he's a human as well. And to see somebody treat their dog so badly was just really heartbreaking. Yeah.
There is the argument that maybe what he said was right. Maybe he was doing the humane thing, and the direwolves belong in the North and North.
Would you just pet the dog before it goes away? You can see it. It's got one ear. It's looking so miserable and sad.
Also, they wouldn't pay for the CGI of having to make human contact.
Also, how did it take him so long to notice that Gilly was pregnant? Because she's clearly been pregnant for
He had his mind on other things, in fairness, for a while. It was the first time he looked at her. I'll actually give him credit for that. And actually, if I was to bump him up to 4, which is what Tyrion and Danny got, and I don't think he played worse than them. Yeah. So if I was to bump him up to 4, what I would do is that he is, like, incredibly honourable and loyal, right? And while that does work against him a lot, and it leads to naivety, and we've already taken points off him for that, it is also honourable, it is also a good trait, and actually will probably get him the respect that we seen earlier in the episode that got him so high. So maybe we bump up to 4 because of that.
Yeah, I also just want to quickly, before we move off this, go back to the first scene, and all the bodies being burned.
Go on.
Now, I don't know who the Undertaker was. There are a lot of
not the wrestler.
I'm not going to name the Undertakers who were in charge of the disposal of these bodies. I'm not going to name any names because there are plenty of
they own the Winterfell corner shop as well.
Yeah, exactly. They've end of the pub, but it was a dreadful idea. First of all the bodies are, why burn them all so close to the castle walls? Like, the stink of that is going to be atrocious. Also, as anyone who has watched Making a Murderer knows, and I'm sure they have, that bodies aren't going to burn well in the open like that. You need to have them in some sort of burn pit, in some sort of concentrated heat, like a barrel of some sort. And like, they just have them out in the open and it's not going to work out. It's just going to stench the place out, and then they're going to be left with half charred remains.
How many barrels do you think they have in Winterfell, given that like thousands of men died?
Well, like, Gendry could ruffle up a barrel, roughly up a barrel in no time at all. Gendry's the greatest blacksmith that ever lived.
Yeah, but he's busy man these days.
I think, but also you have to remember that the Undertakers would have been very busy dealing with all of the remains from the Army of the Dead, and there would have been a lot of just skeletons around.
Yeah,
and like, where did like that? You didn't see any signs of the battle on the in front of the main wall there. So they had been obviously toiling like probably through the night to get all of those skulls and stuff out of sight for the big speech. So I think they were probably a bit stretched.
But why not just bring the bodies even at the very least just further away from the castle so there isn't such a stink?
That's a good point.
The people who had to go to the funeral were tired. They've just been through the battle of their lives.
I'm giving them
defeated the dead.
A 3 out of 10. And that's a generous 3. We move on to Cersei.
Maybe all the Undertakers died and everyone was just trying it. Like, you know, amateur Undertaker.
It shows you it's a big responsibility. Yeah. And it shouldn't be taken lightly. And Paul Bearer, Lord rest him. He could have been if you're talking about wrestling, he would have been useful if Paul Bearer in there as a manager for that funeral. But anyway, Cersei.
I think you'd have to give Cersei an 8 this episode. She is, I think, clearly the winner. Everything is coming her way now. She didn't have much of the ball, but what she did, she was aggressive. She was true to herself. And now she's in a place where she's got Daenerys totally where she wants her. She's in her head. She's psyched out. She knows she's got she's risen the red mist in her opponent. And, you know, she has the enemy exactly where she wants him to be. It was just another, I think, just more sort of dastardly tactical genius from Cersei.
I thought it was a great tactical move to bring all the people into the Red Keep.
Mm.
That you're like, right, we're going to, if you want to, it was a blanket defense, really. It's like, if you want to come, you want to get to me, you're going to have to come through all of us and risk alienating the entire population.
And she has all the supporters are on her side there in King's Landing. She's clearly knows how to play to them and give them what they want. And they see the opposition coming in and they're on her side. And I think they're going to back her all the way to the end of this battle.
I would say her orchestrating the slowest pregnancy in human history and convincing Euron that they have, you know, an unbreakable alliance built by their shared child who will eventually inherit the land and the sea is another masterstroke that she's played over a lot of episodes but came to fruition this week. And yeah, just her very presence, she like just even her positioning herself so far above Daenerys and her army is, you know, no accident. She's just playing the game incredibly well. She's ready. My fear is that she has lost her mind and that's going to make her unpredictable and dangerous. Like, it could work out well for her, you know, over the next 2 episodes. And, you know, perhaps even the thought of her demise and her butchering has even brought back her closest ally to her side, but we'll see about that.
Yeah, she's like a stereotypical Italian centre half. Takes no nonsense, bit mad in the head.
Getting better with age.
Chiellini. Yeah. Solid 8 out of 10.
Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Yep, 8 out of 10. We'll move on to perhaps our nemesis, Sansa Stark. Very involved in this week's episode. Could be, I think she's arguably now, if not the strongest female character, maybe she's the strongest female character that people are rooting for. But how did she fare this
episode? Arya is the strongest female character that people are rooting for. But
sorry, I thought in terms of the race for the Iron Throne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I think she's still well in with a shout, despite that there's not really much mention of it.
Why? What's her interest in it? She's not even going to leave the North. Like, I don't think she's even going to be in the next episode.
The throne could just move.
Who said the
King's Landing?
She
has
can
to
be the queen
capital.
In the North. Like, yeah. I don't know if she has interest in the Seven Kingdoms.
Maybe she'll take them all. Just go, you know what? We'll have that, Danny.
I would say she's, you know, 7. She seems to be really clued into things now. Calling for, you know, some added rest days for the team. I think that was proven to be a bit wise.
She's on top of sports science. That's not like she's one of those people. She's one of the early adapters to it, and she's not been listened to, and she's going to be proven right.
And her look, her man management skills, I think they might have been doubted a few seasons ago. But look at what she was doing with the Hound. I mean, that was some touching stuff.
Yeah.
She's been through a lot over the course of the show, but like, whereas some characters might be completely derailed, she's grown from those sort of dark moments, and she really seems like she's. Like, it's terrible to see what she's had to go through to get to this stage, but like, actually she's quite poised and strong now.
Mick, does she lose points for being a bit of blabbermouth?
Well, not if she's doing it strategically. Like, you know, so does she lose soundness points? She probably does a little bit. Like, she did kind of betray John. What I actually was interested in that, though, was that she still seems to be on John's side. The weirdest thing, and like, I don't know if we were going to mention it or if it, I don't think it will come up with any of the player ratings. The weirdest thing was, like, the John's parentage, you know, the reveal was last season, I know, but the world doesn't know about it yet. So, like, it's still this massive deal. And it's another thing that I feel like they're just going, they just want this one story. And
it's
they don't
coming
want
up in the player ratings, don't you worry.
Yeah.
We've got Bran Stark next, and we'll be talking.
Okay, fine. But from a show point of view, I want to see how Arya and Sansa react to that. And is it that they weren't able to write it? Or every time we think they're saving something for down the line, we don't seem to see it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like we were talking about where Bran was last week. So I just thought that was a cop-out, but it annoyed me. But what did seem interesting was she did seem to be still on his side. She did seem to say, like, actually, John is the person that we should be rallying behind and not Daenerys when she was talking to Tyrion. So she did give it away, but it was strategic. She's probably missed consistency in... our Game of Thrones player rankings at the moment. Mm. I don't think she's just one of those players that's probably not going to drop below a 7 at the moment. She's always playing the game really well. She's one of those people as well that's kind of like quietly risen up the world rankings.
Sure.
The Westeros rankings. Like, yeah. She might have started, about 2 years ago, she would have been maybe like 15 to 20 in the rankings, you know? And without ever like bolting up, she's gone up 2 at a time until now she's like clearly in the top 5. And, you know, definitely a contender for number one, even if not the overall.
It shows you, you know, what the value of sort of moving on from your kind of assistants can be. Like when Ferguson would have had Carlos Quiros, but then maybe
Mike Phelan comes in.
Littlefinger out of the picture, given like just polluting her head with his schemes and his bad ideas. He's gone now. She's kind of working it on her own, maybe.
There's that big, grumpy old white man.
Yeah, Lord Royce.
Man, who is still about. Pat, I don't know if he's still about. Did he survive the battle?
He is, yeah, he's still there. He was in the big hall.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, yeah. The Vale guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems to be sound enough. Like, he seems to be like, he doesn't suffer fools lightly, that lad.
No.
And we don't know much about him. But look, he had to have the smarts about him to survive the battle Winterfell.
7 at least,
Look, Sansa's playing well, and she's still thereabouts. And look, she's secured the North. She's not a fan of Dany. I think she sees through her better than anyone else. Sometimes I think she's actually being a little bit harsh.
Yeah,
at the same time, it's coming from a place of distrust that I think is well earned. Yeah.
She's also the only person she's the only person with no battle experience, really, that was in that battle room where they're discussing attacking Daenerys, and she's the only one who spoke any sense tactically in terms of letting people rest. Moving on very quickly, just there, we mentioned him earlier, Bran. I've given him a 2 out of 10.
Yeah.
He's still a dose. It's proved clear. Last week we said we'd wait a week and see if something transpired from the time he went into the Eyes of the Ravens and went off on his gallivanting during the whole Battle of the Winterfell, basically missed the whole lot. Turns out, no, he was just watching something on Netflix. Who knows? He was absolutely useless. He's the worst person at parties. I mean, imagine getting stuck beside him. Poor Tyrion trying to make a great conversation. Go, yo, Bran, I like your wheels. And Bran's just like, oh, yeah, no, it's like Penny's hun. Yeah. It was 200 years old or something, the design of it. He's a disaster. And then, like, Game of Thrones is turning more into Monty Python Search for the Holy Grail with every week that passes. I'm fully expecting Jones or Eric Idle or someone to pop up with, I didn't vote for you, whoever gets the Iron Throne at the end. And also the whole Bran thing, when it's like, John's like, I need to tell you this. No, wait, I can't tell you. You need to not tell anyone. Swear you won't tell anyone. Keep it a secret. And they're like, yeah, I swear. And then it's like, well, Bran, you tell them. It's just fully, and it just cuts to him, but I was fully expecting Bran to go, well, I'll tell you. And break into song.
Nobody's getting this. Bran, there was a moment, you're saying he's sitting no crack at the party. There was a moment where you were seeing Sansa sitting there with her straight back, kind of looking around, thinking like, that woman has been leading for a long time. Like, she's had no crack. Like, you know, now is the time for her to... On one side of her is Bran sitting there, like, just kind of like in his own, like, Lula
I
world.
Live in the past, and, not now.
And the other person beside her is brooding Jon Snow. And you're like, this poor girl, like, what kind of a, like, lunatic family has she come from? Like, at least Arya, like, she's mad too, let's face it, but she's kind of got that little bit of crack about her, like, you know, it's like, they might not have got on as kids, but thank God for Arya now, just for Sansa's sanity. Like,
Bran's the type of lad at a party who'd sit there for an hour discussing different types of porridge or something.
Well, he did discuss, like, the invention of wheelchairs 150 years before, which, you know, I was actually interested to know where his wheelchair came from or who built it, but it's good he invented it from the fact that, like, it is useful to him to have this knowledge of the past.
Completely butchered. He's gone from being the three-eyed raven, some lad who knows the entire history of the world, to being Uncle Colm from Derry Girls, where he's like, I says to myself, Bran, that's no day for a do.
But if Bran wasn't... I wonder if this is an actor's choice, right? But is Bran as uninteresting? Like, the idea of him isn't uninteresting. He is not, I don't think, an uninteresting character. I wonder is they got very, very lucky with the casting of this show because they had to cast a lot of children that needed to become adults. He couldn't be getting rid of them. They were too big. You know, they got very... Like, Sansa and Arya have been unbelievable. They're nearly who you'd put in now if you were casting anew, you know?
Sure.
But, like, they were obviously not going to look out with all of them. And I wonder, is Bran just a little bit too wooden?
Limited.
So that they just made him just into this wooden. Kind of talk. He talks like, you know, Noel Fielding's character in The IT Crowd?
Yeah.
Who just, you know, who kind of just looks into this sort of thing and goes, I remember when I, you know, before I was... before I lived here, I used to work upstairs... He's like, where are you looking?
Yeah. I don't know.
That voice is just really annoying. I wonder if he just talked normal. Would it be as weird and boring?
I don't know. He's added nothing. Look at...
Two out of ten. I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. He didn't do anything.
It's just they spend a lot of time setting him up as the most important guy in the universe, and now he's basically a wheelchair geek.
And if he knows what's going to happen, why isn't he just saying, here, lads, Euron's going to be waiting for you on the Blackwater?
I don't think he knows what's going to happen. He only knows what did happen, which is... a bit useless. Like, he's just Wikipedia, really. He's not able to predict anything. But anyway, we're running out of time here, so we're going to have to move quickly through a few here.
Two.
You got a two, yeah. I'm going to group Arya, the Hound, Tormund, Gendry. Let's run through these all pretty quickly. Arya, solid 7 out of 10. I don't think she had too much involvement. The Hound as well.
Arya had a really good moment, though. The It's Not Me when Gendry proposed to her. Yeah. That was a brilliant callback. And also, like, I was, like, saying it the entire time as she was giving all her other bullshit to ultimately get to that line.
Yeah.
Really true to her character.
I heard a Bill Simmons podcast. It was great. It was like the I'm dumping you on The Bachelor sort of spiel where it's like, you know, oh, you're really good when to give a big brief synopsis on the whole relationship until they got to the bit where you say no.
So that was good. She doesn't seem to be claiming all that much credit for the fact that she's the hero. Winterfell. She seems to be avoiding it a little bit.
Yeah.
I liked her black eye because she's kind of like, that's her battle hard now. She's a full-on warrior now because she's got the scars. And also, like, we didn't see her reaction. We know Sansa, what she thought, but why is she fucking off and why is she saying she's not going to be back?
Mm.
That leaves a lot of intrigue, I have to say.
Absolutely, and great to have her back on the road with the Hound. I think that's when the show was kind of at its best, when they're just going on adventures and calling into random towns.
Definitely should be a spin-off show.
But it used to take them 2 seasons to go from, I don't know, where even found her, like somewhere in the Riverlands, to go to Riverrun, which is also in the Riverlands, and then to go to the Vale, which is like the next place over. That took a season and a half.
Mm.
They're going to be in King's Landing in the next episode.
But she still, I think both her and the Hound, 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Gendry.
Hound was very funny.
Yeah, Hound is great.
Gendry probably a 6 out of 10 because the proposal was a bad idea.
Well,
but he is a lord now.
It was a good idea for him, I think.
But he should have been a bit more tactical about it. Like he jumped the shark there a little bit now, or not jumped the shark, but what's the jump?
He jumped the gun.
Jumped the gun. I'm getting my jumped phrases mixed up.
Look,
but
he's like, madly in love.
He shifted her once, and he's proposing to
him.
I suppose that a lot of proposals happen in Game of Thrones where they haven't even shifted at all.
Yeah, more than shifted now, in fairness.
Yeah, that's true, but still, it was only the once. So he didn't do an awful lot of work, didn't get a lot done, I didn't think, this episode. He was sitting around a lot, drinking, getting made lords, you know, getting appointed to things. Like, if he's a lord of something now, what's going to happen to the blacksmith trade?
Well, I presume that's pretty well stocked, but I was happy for him, and I was glad he got his moment.
Six. He could set up blacksmiths all over Storm's End. Oh, easily a six. Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong.
Tormund's
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10?
The most crack of anyone, right? Had like, knew how to party, right? Mm. The only man who partied. Lost Brienne. Handled it well. I would say he didn't go off the handle. He got a bit of a cry to his friend.
Surely he loses a point for letting Jamie get in the way of him.
Look, I'm not holding on to this 10 like it's... like, you know, give him whatever number you want. But I'm saying that he played well. He handled losing Brienne very well. He had the bit of a cry. Then went out, and do you know what? He goes, I'm taking my people home. That's where they belong. We're going to go off. I'll take Ghost off your hands. No problem. I'll do you a favor. You're the best man I know. Loyal to an end. You know, he turned around on Jon Snow. Knows what he actually is. Knows that he was someone who took his enemies under his wing. Tormund, going to miss him. Don't think we'll see him again.
Great season. A lot of great speeches. Great to see him. You know, one of the few men crying in the show. Really opened up there after Brienne dumped him. And like, he became much more of a lad this season. You know, he was kind of a bit of a madman. I think he was kind of like the weird guy in the GA team. But now he's kind of like, he's kind of like the main lad. Like, hey, well done to Europe. Yeah. I'm going to follow you and go wherever you want.
He's like the former senior player who's still around the senior team just to G up the lads. Great character. And I'm going to give him 9 out of 10. He's just losing one point because Jamie kind of won that sort of love race. I thought it made more sense for it to actually end up being Tormund. But anyway, we're giving Tormund 9 out of 10. Highest rating on this week's show so far.
And do we think we'll see him again?
No. I think him and the wolf are gone to live the adventures of Tormund and Ghost.
I've an idea that I heard from someone else, but I really like. That was, they said it on the Ringer show, that they think that the talking about John belonging in the north and that he'd love to go with them and all, and that might be ultimately where he sees his retirement.
Mm.
And we might like, if we see him, it'll be no more than like Ghost and Tormund standing there as John goes and gives him a hug. I don't think we're going to see any more of his character. But we might see him again.
Yeah,
you know?
It would be one of the great, I know they have them penciled in already, they're probably not one of them, but they have a great, it would be a great spin-off show where it's like, I don't know, the Night King does come back to life at the end of Game of Thrones or something, and then there's just one that's set up in the north.
Yeah.
North with Tormund and Jon Snow.
Load of wildings.
Yeah.
Just called wildings.
And they're just fighting the Night King and none of this other bullshit.
They don't even have to fight the Night King.
They're just going to be fighting each other, you know, and
just wildings
collecting politics. Berries and stuff like that. It'd be just crack. Like.
Euron Greyjoy. Another lad I think that had a very good week. Yeah. He's another 8 out of 10, possibly 9.
I'd be giving him a 9 now. I'd be struggling to take any points off him, you know.
But when you think that only one dragon has ever been killed through a flying projectile in the history of the Seven Kingdoms.
Well,
and that it's a one in a million shot. Yeah. No, the history of in the books. The legend is that only one dragon's ever been killed.
And but not the Night King.
But
the Night King.
Oh, sorry, so two dragons. Didn't count because he was dead. And it's a one in a million shot. Yet he managed to hit a dragon 3 times.
Yeah,
from a boat.
He basically
with a crossbow that's hard to maneuver.
He basically lobbed the opposition keeper from his own penalty mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he only threw one of the bolts, but yeah, like his plan was untouchable. He rules those seas. Like, he's the scariest guy to come on. I think people continue to underestimate how important Euron and the Iron Fleet is. Like, they're scary bastards.
I would say one of my criticisms, I won't dock him points for it because it's not his fault, but if you think of all the time we've put into so many different characters, something jars me with Euron that he just kind of showed up and he's just randomly a major character.
Yeah.
It would be much better to get him a lot earlier in the show. And that you actually care about him. Like, there's still an element of like, who the hell is this lad?
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of in there, wreaked havoc. But in terms of player ratings, that's all you need.
Yeah.
So yeah, 9 out of 10, I think.
Scored an amazing goal. You got to give him the points there.
Two people we've forgotten about up until now: Jamie and Brienne.
Mm. Have we forgotten about, or were we just building up to them in the 48-minute mark?
We were building up to them. The most interesting of, I think...
The most interesting story couple development dynamic of the show. Like, yeah.
If you look, and again, this is the point, Grey Worm and Missandei, another couple that were meant to really kind of care about. I really couldn't give a shit of poor Grey Worm. I'm sorry, Grey Worm, but he's whimpered and crying at the end.
Yeah, there was a lot of kind of like his jaw clenching action going on. That was, I'm not sure it was the best acting.
I've given Jamie an 8 out of 10 subject to change.
Wow.
I thought he had an 8 out of 10
generous
up until he left. And I think he's leaving to go kill Cersei. So I'm not going to dock him points for it. I can't dock him points based of...
Like, that's not the way it was set up, though. He's gone to save her.
He's gone
to realise that all of his character development over the last 5 seasons was actually bullshit. And who he actually is the person that he's going back
but
to.
But Brienne, who was in the room, or outside the room, next to the horse, as he pulled off, she knew that, like, she looked very troubled by where he was going to and didn't seem very comforted by the fact that he was riding off into the distance.
Yeah, but I think that's because he was just being ambiguous and it misled people. But all it didn't, it set it up that
it could
he said,
be either, I'd agree.
Yeah, he just said that he stood by her when she did all these horrible things. He listed them all off, as in, like, I was waiting for him to go, now it's my time to go down and finally put a stop to this.
No.
Now, he didn't say that.
He was saying, that's me.
He said, we're horrible people. Said, well, I think it just takes a horrible person to kill a horrible person, is what he thinks. And he's going to go down and do it.
I don't know.
I the way he reacted to Sansa saying, I'm not going to be there to see your sister slaughtered, that was a trigger. That was him realizing, I've been living in this world. I've been off on my holidays. I've been having this affair with this woman. You know, I thought that I could be happy. I can't. That's like a magnet to me. I can't. Now, he was brought back to reality. He realized that Cersei was probably going to be killed and he had to go and be back by her side. That's at the very least what we're being set up to believe.
Yeah. Can we agree then that we'll push his player rating out for a week?
Yes. Because we don't know what that, it is. But okay. I have to say that, like, you know, like, kind of like building up this woman, the unlikely pairing, you know, kind of declaring his, you know, love for her in so many words, and then kind of like leaving her crying on the landing in her dressing gown.
Yeah.
You know, like a day later is not really cool.
I've got her, I'm happy to give Jamie like a retrospective play rating next week.
Yeah.
But like if I was doing it now, it'd be pretty low.
Yeah, I see. I don't know. Like the other thing you'd argue that was for her own good, that he was just trying to do the, you know, it's not you, it's me, sort of spiel. And he didn't want her worried about him going down because he was going down to try and kill Cersei. And so he's going to come back and go, listen.
Well, he spent...
Mark just held up a head, by the way. just in case people were wondering what the silence was.
But Brienne, quickly, going to give her, I think, 7.5. She didn't do a lot, but she was good in the drinking game.
She did a bit.
Yeah.
She did something or someone.
She also didn't bottle it on the big occasion.
Yeah.
She was clearly afraid.
She was actually she showed more clarity under pressure than Jamie did.
Yeah.
Jamie got a little hot and bothered, whereas Brienne, she was...
Jamie came in like the big man to initiate, but when it actually happened, she was the one who was there to finish the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. 7.5.
Sure.
To go out and behave himself, the way he behaved himself tonight... He's a disgrace. He's a disgrace to the game.
All right, that's putting it too strongly all together.
Hold on a minute. That's what I believe.
So speaking of that other couple, Grey Worm and Missandei, I don't think Grey Worm really featured enough to be rated. Although, I suppose he was involved in the whole shipwreck thing where they magically ended up back on land and Euron left them all to survive.
How did they know for a fact that they'd taken Missandei just because they couldn't find her when, like...
Yeah, she would have drowned.
They swam up. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he sent her to an escape boat, you see, so she would have been in the boat.
Oh, right. Yeah. So the whole boat was probably taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's jarring when they use really specific nautical words like skiff. In an otherwise kind of totally made up show, but anyway.
Yeah, skiff could have kind of been anything. Well, I suppose they do use the language that we understand.
Like,
Yeah.
Maybe he should have been a bit more vocal as well when... I presume he was thinking the same as Sansa. Like,
yeah.
He probably himself is like,
and she would have listened to him. And that's the problem with blind loyalty, you know? Yeah. Like, he's becoming more human. He's had more to live for. But his character hasn't actually developed beyond the blindly loyal soldier that it needs to be. Because he's supposed to be a general. Like, he has to be able to speak to her.
If you're a general in an army as well, and you're going down into war, is it a good idea to be standing holding hands with your girlfriend at the front of the boat when you're supposed to be leading an army?
They were not prepared for the game.
No. You wouldn't see General Alexander at that crap, would you?
They were caught.
Wait, who's
blindsided?
General Alexander?
That's not Alexander the Great.
No, I meant the guy...
Patton?
That's the one. That lad. It's like, in fairness to Donny, I said the guy, and he said Patton, so well done, Donny.
No, General Patton would have been at that. I suppose he holds a bit of responsibility. Whatever about Daenerys being able to see the boats from the sky, surely he could see them from the sea. So he was a bit kind of, I think he was letting something other than his brain lead him in that episode.
And it wasn't the usual thing that's not your brain.
It was...
Because he doesn't have it.
Yeah, it was his gut. Whereas... He was letting something eat him, and who knows what it was. But maybe a 5 out of 10 for Grey Worm. Missandei.
5 out of 10. Like, didn't protect his woman.
Yeah.
Didn't really, like, you know, didn't speak truth to power. Shouldn't have been in that position. Yeah. You know, like, also, don't know if the Unsullied are the people that should be there. I'd go for a 3. I don't know if what he did well.
Right, grand. Right. 3. I'm not going to, we're running out of time here. I'm not going to waste all day arguing with you. Missandei.
Just, we noticed there, you guys brought it up earlier in the show that, you know, head injuries have been a real issue over the show.
Come on, where are you going with this?
And, like, I mean, if you go back to season one, last episode, we've seen just the dangers of serious head injury. Yeah. And then it's a shame to see such another big player in the show.
Ned Stark never played again.
I think some people lose the head and it's a 3-match suspension, but I think she's going to be gone for the rest of the season.
Look, you know,
we've lost, the lads have lost it here. Look, I'm taking a call here on this, and I'm going to give Missandei a 6 out of 10. I thought she was brave in defeat, but ultimately she lost.
Oh, and when she shouted that, what was it, Dracarys? That was a great way to go out.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, and ultimately is the advice that Dany has been lacking is to follow her instincts and just go get him.
Quickly as well, Qyburn, I've given him a 4 out of 10. Still a twerp, and they've got a turkey neck that really annoys me. If anyone should be wearing a polo top or turtleneck top, it's Qyburn, and he's the only person not, and it really annoys me.
We should have given Tyrion an extra point for just ignoring his waffling and just walking past him. That was actually a nice move. So
exactly,
maybe that I still think Tyrion's too lucky to be a 4, but give
let's
that a
not
point.
Revisit them, but that's definitely I'd say actually Queen, he was meant to do that with Tyrion. Actually, I'm going to dock him down. I'm going to 1 out of 10. Handed the Queen 1 out of 10. Also, Samwell, obviously I was very harsh on him last week. This week I've given him a solid 5 out of 10. He wasn't in it much, but proved fertile. So, look, he has to get points for that. We got the animal ratings very quickly, Donny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, again, this is kind of good, just going back to what we were saying earlier, but with Rhaegal, the dragon, I think he just shows you these are the dangers of playing injured. If you're carrying injuries into games, you got to tell the physios, look, I'm not fit to play here. I'm not ready. I need a rest day. Similarly, the physios, they're well paid. You know, the dragon physios have to know when if a dragon has a hole in his wing,
the dragon's always going to want to fly.
Yeah, that's what dragons do. What they do. That's all they know how to do.
Yeah,
but if he's got a hole in his wing, the physio has to tell the dragon, look, you need a day off. You need to patch that hole in your wing up.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, died. So, low player rating for him, I would say. Pity for John. Loses his dragon.
Yeah, just like that.
I thought it was brave of him to go back into battle so soon after that injury. Mm. So, maybe we give him a couple of points for that. But
a 4?
Ooh, I was going to say a 3.
3, okay, cool. Ghost. Yeah. Look, Ghost looked like he got a good battering in the battle for Winterfell.
Lost an ear.
Yeah, lost an ear.
Poor Ghost. What a legend.
Follows instruction well, and I think he's gone down the leagues now, come back up into the north. But I think he can have a solid career. I think he's going to be like a Glenn Whelan. He could, like we said, we don't know if we're ever going to see him again, but you never know. He might come back suddenly in a year and a half and play a competitive fixture for Ireland once more.
Yeah.
5. 5, Bronn?
Yeah. 5. Bronn.
First appearance.
Not long enough to be rated, episode. Really. Yeah.
One scene.
Yeah, he his comeback, really, if anything.
In fairness, he came in there as Sir Bronn of the Blackwater with no property and left as Lord of the Reach.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Lord of Highgarden. Yeah. That's not a bad performance. Yeah.
7 out of 10, and he's only regaining match fitness. Who knows if we ever see him play another match.
Punched Tyrion in the nose, didn't break it, you know. Yeah. Knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one last person.
What did he get?
7.
7. One last person. Varys, really kind of, I thought it was a massive performance for someone who didn't feature at all really last week. He was, you know, last week we would have given him, I think, maybe a 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
2 out of 10 at the most. He was invisible almost.
Yeah.
Whereas this week he's come back, he's really nailed his colours to a mast. I think he's the only person who's speaking any sense. If he is the voice of reason in that show.
I see Varys quite differently myself. I think, if we look at his career as a whole, we see here's a player who's gone. He's transferred to so many different teams over his career.
Journeyman.
He's a journeyman guy, and he's always always angling for the next transfer, even when he should be working, with the team that he's currently on. And we see him very quickly. He's just considering, okay, where am I going to be playing next season? Who am I going to be working with? Who should I be working with? What's the right team to be on? Whereas, why not just concentrate on the current setup and and work.
Try and improve it from within.
Exactly. Yeah. Rather than just being like, well, I could be so, like, there's a better team out there for me.
This was very true to his character, I would say, and that's not necessarily to his credit. I think he is someone that probably does kind of flip very easily, and you know, it's all very well for him to be sitting there going, this is the savior, and then give her no advice for two seasons and then say, hold on, I don't like where she's going, and instead of trying to act, he just abandons.
But is he possibly backing a winner? Is he?
He's always trying to back the winner. That's the whole thing. Like,
but if he does, then is that not, in terms of a player ratings, like we're saying, it's not a soundness rankings. If he does and John ends up on the Iron Throne, do you not have to look back at this? This was a very smart move.
He might be. I think he's looking for the right man. I don't know if he's looking for the man who will ultimately win, though, because I don't think John wants to.
Yeah,
it's not him.
Then like, also, you didn't give Tyrion the credit then for, like, you're criticizing Varys on one hand for not sticking by Daenerys and all this, whereas that person who was presenting that exact argument you made, Donny, was Tyrion, and you didn't give him the kudos for that.
Well, I think Tyrion, just the way he's going about the endgame, even if he's right in backing Dany, he's doing it all wrong. And that's ultimately, he's proven to be a terrible tactician.
Great to see Varys back in the game, though. Because, look, he's someone that, you know, spent a lot of the seasons, early seasons, kind of like getting caught rapid, like just staring at the Iron Throne with lust in his eyes.
Yeah.
They've kind of forgotten about that side of him. But there's definitely a bit of that. He definitely wants to be the, if not the guy, then the guy's guy.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it takes balls to go against Daenerys for again, a man with no balls.
Wrong use words.
Yes, I was getting there, Mick. I was getting there. For a man with no balls, you show great show. Balls.
Yeah.
What are we going to get? What are we giving him? I would have given him a solid 7.
I'd agree. Yeah,
6, 7. Yeah,
yeah. 7. I would have went higher. Yeah, 7.
So there we go. 7 out of 10 for Varys. Still all to play for, though, in the Game of Thrones.
Tormund and Euron shared a week.
Yeah, I thought, and Cersei was decent as well. I think Cersei got a solid 8, did she?
Yeah, I would say Cersei won the week, but the highest ranking players were Tormund and Euron for very different reasons.
Just quickly, before we wrap, who do you think is on the Iron Throne at the end after the next two episodes?
I think we are going to have a representative democracy and no Iron Throne.
Oh, okay.
I think the North will be an independent. Ulster says no, and Sansa will be Queen of the North. And John will go off into the North for the adventures of John Tormund and Ghost.
Ghost.
It's coming to Disney Plus or whatever that new
HBO Plus.
Plus.
They keep calling it Disney Plus. Okay. I don't know why.
Maybe it's after Pluto.
But anyway, that is it for this week. We have ranked all our players. If you agree or disagree with us, please get in touch on all the various social media channels. You can get The Rewind at therewind.ie on Twitter. That's DOTIE. We will be back next week. Like I said, please subscribe to The Rewind podcast feed. Just search The Rewind in all good podcast apps. But until then, mind yourself.